Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxies, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke! Brian!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Hello and welcome to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke Mathers, the big guy just waking up from a nap. That's Brian Kelly. How you doing, man?
I woke up a couple hours ago, but I don't know that I've really done it yet.
And you were back, BK, back from GB. You were in Green Bay last night till pretty late into the evening.
Yes, it wasn't just me. Corey was there too.
Yes,
our fearless engineering friend. And Corey and I lost our minds together in the middle of fields in Green Bay. At one point, each of us were stopped on the side of the road, in a little shack that's on the side of the road in the middle of rain. And cold and wet while sitting on a stool inside of, let's say, a tool shed, essentially, in the middle of nowhere outside of Green Bay, north of Keele. Places that made me feel really confident that... So you know how, like, in World War II, like, after it was done, they found a bunch of islands and stuff where... You know, for like months and even years, I think, there were Japanese that were still fighting the war because they didn't know that the war had ended. I felt like that driving through the area because there's a lot of folks there who didn't seem to know that the election was over. And I'm not sure if they knew it was like this past election was over or the 2020 election was over, because I saw a nice
signs from 2020. Yeah.
I guess what I'm saying is that the signals we hooked up in Green Bay, if you're in or around Green Bay area, check out 1590 AM or 97.9 FM. That's WGBW, and you can hear us right now.
Because of Brian and Corey's hard work yesterday, so thank you very much, Brian and Corey, for the work you did.
There's a whole team that makes that whole dream work. So we're parts of it, but there's a whole bunch of other things that needed to make that work. Point is that we're definitely needed up there. They need another voice out there, because the place I was driving in was, let's say they were, I looked at the representation and I found out that that's where Shea Sorwell is from. What a wonderful, wonderful place to have a wonderful person like Shea Sorwell. Quick fun facts I found out while I was in that area about Shea Sorwell. I got notes, for you, just real quick here, Wisconsin Right to Life calls Shea Sorwell allegations serious and adds that he resigned as the local chair of Wisconsin Right to Life. That's fun. Also, Wisconsin legislator referred for felony child abuse in 2013 before he was elected but never charged. Just some fun facts about Shea Sorwell while I was out there in the area. But again, it was because I was I might be slipping. I might be a little tired. I did get home around 2 in the morning. But these are facts, and these are things we definitely are needed up in Green Bay, so that's fantastic.
Yeah, and welcome to the Civic Media family, WGBW, 1590 AM, 97.9 FM. We're proud to broadcast in that area of the state now, Brian, because of that signal going up this past week. So thank you for the hard work you're doing.
It sounds great, and I'm really happy, and I'm glad we're there.
Yeah,
There's groups of people who have been waiting for us to be there, too.
Yes.
That's the important thing as well.
And for those in the area of WGBW that are still living in the 2020 or 2022 election cycle, we've got news for you. The 2023 election cycle is upon us, so we are going to get a little bit later in the show to some of the fundraising totals out for the state Supreme Court race that will be taking place, with a primary less than 5 weeks away on February 21st, as well as the spring general election scheduled for April 4th. And so we're gonna dive into that election, those campaign fundraising results, We've also got an update for what's been going on at the Wisconsin State Capitol that we're going to get into a little bit later in the show. And Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area will be joining us at 2:30. So, folks, if you want to share a tangent with us here on Dueling Tangents between now and then, 844-967-2789. You can call or text, and we will take your tangents. But, Brian, I wanted to update you while you were doing the impressive work of pulling up, just erecting a radio tower all by your lonesome self yesterday, just like the Incredible Hulk.
Let's not overinflate it. It was a lot of me just sitting around while both Corey and I were yelling at computers.
Putting going, the ones in the tier.
There's a lot of that and a lot of looking for fast food. What
the aim at?
I became strong bad towards the end of the night.
Yes. I oversimplify the work by saying you
don't overstate it is what I'm saying. Let's not make it glorified. It's a bunch of dudes in sweatpants sitting in the middle of on the roadside going, ah.
It's hero's work, Brian. Almost I will hear none of that. It is hero's work. That's what it was. You're the Incredible Hulk. And while you were doing that, we discussed dueling referendum votes that were taking place at the Wisconsin Capitol yesterday, Brian. And it's a pretty interesting one because we've touched on it now. Republicans seem to be scared of low voter turnout, at least projected low voter turnout for conservatives come this spring for the state Supreme Court race. So they want to put something on the ballot that would try to gin up their support, right? They're looking to drive conservative voters to the polls in February and April. And so this week they floated a ballot referendum question talking about reforming bail, which was a huge buzzword topic last November for the midterms, and a pretty redundant question about whether or not able-bodied adults that are receiving welfare benefits should be searching for work while they receive those benefits, which is already the law. It's just redundant.
Yeah.
And so the Republican State Senate yesterday passed the ballot question proposed by Republicans, didn't pass the proposed ballot question by Democratic lawmakers and Governor Tony Evers. They voted against that one. But now the State Assembly will take up what the State Senate passed tomorrow on Thursday of this week, and all likely it will pass there and go to the ballot come April 4th.
So basically, they're saying, hey, do you remember what that really hot topic button issue was that made Judge Doro really popular? Do you want to go and reaffirm that you don't like that thing? And, oh, look, Judge Doro's on the ballot, too. Oh, wow. Because part of the whole thing with the freaking, that's what the Waukesha Parade thing was. People are yelling about, oh, the guy should not have been out on cash bail. So if you say the word cash bail and then will you vote the way the Republicans like on cash bail and then pair that with Doro? That's a winning formula. Why don't you just put down on the freaking ballot, do you like Republicans? Check yes. And in small letters, if you say yes, your vote will apply. And then no. And if you say no, your vote won't count. Like that, like, well, just do something ham-handed like that. Because again, you could do things that, like, I don't know, maybe have better policies or maybe figure out better things to go and expand your base rather than, you know, define it down to the lowest common denominator of idiots.
I think it really shows that the Republicans are scrambling a little bit, Brian, because this non-binding messaging type referenda that they're trying to put onto the ballot for April is the best that the GOP can do in the state of Wisconsin. They are so close to a supermajority, almost in both chambers. They have it, well, they had it until State Senator Alberta Darling retired back at the end of last year. In the
best thing
Senate.
She's ever done, by the way.
I don't disagree with that. But they are so close. They have the outright majority handedly. They have a near supermajority in these chambers. And the best that they can do is messaging referenda that are non-binding to their voters?
Do you like us? Can you guys like us, please? We don't have much to say, but could you just give us a little bit of a boost? We need a win here. We've lost all of the statewide elections except for one. All of them. All of them.
Hey, that's not true. The state treasurer is now a Republican after the last midterms. Oh. And the treasurer is John Lieber, I believe, now. Got sworn in as state treasurer.
Really groundbreaking stopping of doing anything is happening for that guy.
Well, Republicans effectively shrunk that office. Former state treasurer Sarah Godlewski did the outright best she could do defending, protecting that office from being eliminated from the Constitution and giving it the ability to have a greater platform. But that will be hindered now that Republicans have retaken over the state treasurer's office.
So any statewide election of consequence, they've lost. So they have to do ballot referenda. Even though they have the majority where they could pass pretty much whatever they want to, they still can't figure out how to do that because nobody likes you. You have to cheat to win. Nobody likes you. And then here's the thing, you jerks. When you go and play basketball, all right, and you're like the rich kid, and then your parents pay to surround you with people who are worse than you so you can feel better about your stupid self, and then you go and play basketball with a bunch of kids who are technically your age, but then your parents have been lying to you, telling you that you're 12 when you're really 15, and you're playing with 12-year-olds, and you're dunking on them, going, yeah, I'm the best basketball player, and turns out, oh, you get scouted, and now you're on some magical thing happens, and you get on an AAU team because, wow, this kid's really good, he's put up great numbers. And then the kid gets there, and one, you get find out that you cheated in the first place, and two, everybody around you who's younger than you kicks your ass because you actually suck because you had to go out and actually prove something and do something for once. And when you actually had to stand up and actually deliver on anything, literally anything, all you could do is, but we cheated to win. I'm supposed to win. That's all you got.
We set it up this way. We set it up this way. It's supposed to be us as the winners. It's supposed to be that way.
That's all you got?
Brian, I think we got a pretty good window into your childhood, potentially youth basketball playing days. Is that a close to home story there?
No, that's just that. I mean, that's just what I came up with at the moment. I could have easily done lacrosse or any type of crap that some people like to go and elevate themselves. But at the end of the day, you can cheat all you want. Eventually, you're going to have to deliver on something. Okay, you can pretend that you're like the best XYZ of anything and tell everybody how great you are and talk about how awesome you are. Eventually, you're going to have to freaking deliver on something somewhere someday. And I haven't seen a Republican do that in my lifetime.
Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke, he's Brian. We're going to continue this conversation and recombobulate at 230 844 967 2789. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke Mathers, he's Brian Kelly. You're listening across Civic Media, and we're doing something fun here in the month of January for Civic Media. And if you want to learn more, you're going to want to save the date. Thursday, January 26th, beginning at 9 a.m., Civic Media is launching the $1 Million Advertising Giveaway, where if you are a small business looking to work with our sales team here at Civic Media, you'll have the opportunity to sign up for free advertising dollars with our growing network across the state of Wisconsin. It's going to be one day only, Thursday, January 26th. Portal opens at 9 a.m. There are a few details, so rules and restrictions do apply. You're going to want to check those out on the website, and you want to be sure to tell them that Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian sent you. So make sure you click that box when you go and sign up for a portion of the $1 Million advertising giveaway on Civic Media's website, civicmedia.us/millions. And Brian, part of that growing network is up in Green Bay with WGBW, but we're also broadcasting across the state, locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids, Lake Eyre in Amory, Wisconsin, radio from the center in Richland Center, the Shaw in Waukesha, and Devil Radio 92.7 FM here in Madison. Oh, I almost forgot one that you drove past yesterday, Oshkosh Air Support as well. So don't want to leave anybody out of the Civic Media family. If you want to learn more about what we're doing in general, go to the website civicmedia.us. You can sign up to learn more, see all the stations, all the programs, and you get excellent content like Dueling Tangents. You can see our podcasts and follow along with the show. Brian, it's pretty frustrating that we've got to the place where we are here in the state of Wisconsin. We've got the Republicans coming up with no good ideas, like you said. They're fumbling. They're putting forth these non-binding advisory referendum because they don't have any other good ideas. They're going to take the budget proposal that comes from Governor Evers next month. They're going to strip that down to bare bones. They have squatters on boards that just refuse to leave. Frederick Prenn finally leaving after 20 months overstaying his term on the Natural Resources Board. And we've got a fraudulent elector and just outright terrible human being from his comments this last week that got revealed. Robert Spindell, one of the 10 fraudulent electors sitting on the Wisconsin Elections Commission. And we had a call, I'm going to share this clip, from up the Wisconsin State Capitol earlier today. State Senator Kelda Royce on the Democratic lawmakers' call for Spindell to step down after his comments were made public last week. Aaron, if you could play it for the people. This is State Senator Kelda Royce at the Wisconsin Capitol earlier today.
Every single eligible voter should be able to cast their ballot freely and fairly. We don't need election officials bragging about suppressing voters, and especially voter turnout in historically disenfranchised communities. Earlier this week, we commemorated the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and we remembered his tireless advocacy for human rights and for racial equity, including and especially access to the ballot box. Many Republican elected leaders attend King Day events or shared his words on social media or in their newsletters. Yet the injustices that Dr. King fought against are very much alive today, and they are embodied by the continuing GOP embrace of racially disparate voter suppression policies, and of course, the abhorrent comments of Bob Spindell. We aim to continue the vital work of Dr. King, pursued to tirelessly build social, racial, and economic justice. Now, it's the job of the Wisconsin Elections Commission to ensure that elections and our voting laws are fairly administered so that every single eligible voter may cast their ballot. Celebrating voter suppression is antithetical to the mission of the Elections Commission, and it undermines confidence in the ability of Commissioner Spindell to do his job. In fact, Spindell's remarks are disqualifying. He should not be overseeing elections. We call on him to resign from the Wisconsin Elections Commission. And if he will not, then we call on Senate Majority Leader Devin Lemahieu to remove him. Majority Lemahieu talks a good game about bipartisanship and working together and turning the page on the obstructionism and divisive politics of the GOP's last few sessions. But as long as Bob Spindell is sitting on the Wisconsin Elections Commission as his appointee, we know that's just empty words. Even after Spindell participated in the Trump effort to overturn the 2020 election as one of the fraudulent electors, Lemahieu allowed him to continue sitting on the Elections Commission. We urge members of the press to get the majority leader on record as to whether or not Spindell's praise of voter suppression is appropriate for someone charged with upholding Wisconsin's election laws.
Those were comments made by State Senator Kelda Royce earlier today in the Wisconsin State Capitol. Brian, do you think anything's going to come of this? Do you think Lemahieu?
Of course not.
You think Lemahieu is going to be susceptible? Excuse me. It's a Wednesday that feels like a Monday. Got a little bit of that Monday mouth. I agree. I don't think Devin's going to really fold to public pressure. But
if Lemon Poo had been talked to on Martin Luther King Day, he might have been forced to have said something to the effect of, we'll look into that, or we really deeply care about black people. Hey, look at us. We elected a black, look at what's that guy's name over in South Carolina? That guy. We have a black Republican. That's what he would say. But luckily, they're smart enough not to talk on Martin Luther King Day, just to go and post on social media and then ignore everything else. So, no, they're going to ignore it. Is it a day in freaking Wisconsin where Wisconsin has the worst outcomes for black people, worse than Mississippi burning Mississippi in general by any rational way of measuring it? Yeah, I don't think anything's going to happen, man. Yeah. I don't think anyone cares.
I think a lot of people care. I think that there, unfortunately, there's not a whole lot that the people that do care can do except publicly pressure Devin LeMahieu to rescind his appointment of Bob Spindell to the Wisconsin Elections Commission. It didn't
public pressure. Yeah, it's never worked before.
I say it didn't work for insurrection. It didn't work for a treasonous act against democracy.
It didn't work for fair maps when they had an open open forum on it. So,
folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. We are going to be joined by Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area coming up next. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke Mathers, he's Brian Kelly, and now we are joined by Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area. Dan, how you doing?
Doing well, Luke. Thanks for having me on the show. Good to see you.
Great to see you as well. Glad that we get this chance to recombobulate a little bit, because there's some headlines here in Wisconsin that we find very important to talk about here in the 2 o'clock hour during Dueling Tangents. And we meant to touch on one earlier, but we got sidetracked with a tangent, so that tends to happen around here. But over at the Recombobulation Area, the award-winning Recombobulation Area, a weekly column that you put together and have some guest hosts or guest columnists from time to time. You do also guest host for Kristen Bry on As Goes Wisconsin, who played out before us from 11 to 2 across Civic Media. And terrific job filling in for Kristen those days, by the way.
No, thank you. I'm just glad I didn't, make things hard for Jane running the booth and drop any accidental four-letter words.
A little scramble for Jane. No scramble in there, so that's good. But we've got some new fundraising totals out for the Wisconsin State Supreme Court race from 2022 fundraising totals, and there's some pretty interesting numbers when you take a look at just beyond the top line numbers. I'd love to hear your thoughts on what we got this morning and where you think the state of the race is for the Wisconsin State Supreme Court.
Yeah, so I think, they put out the fundraising numbers for the most recent reporting period for the race for Wisconsin Supreme Court for the four candidates. And Janet Protasiewicz was way ahead of the field in fundraising. She's, I think part of that is because she's been running longer than a number of the conservative candidates who announced. But also, it's that may explain a slight edge. She has fundraised more than the other three candidates combined. So she is way out in front in the fundraising game in this particular election, followed by the two conservative candidates, Daniel Kelly and Jennifer Doro, who are both just over 300,000. Protasiewicz was over 750,000. And then Everett Mitchell was in a pretty distant fourth in the fundraising game here at about 115,000. And, the more I cover Wisconsin politics and the more that I cover campaigns, you really see how much of this comes down to money. And so how much of, especially in races like this one, that it is, maybe not the typical, it's a spring election cycle. It's an election that people don't necessarily pay attention to the same way they might a governor election or a senator election or presidential election. And so that fundraising lead that Protasiewicz has is significant. And I think, Mitchell's numbers being what they are significant as well, because I think it shows him, a bit behind among the two liberal candidates in this race.
Yeah, distant fourth place, as you mentioned. Go ahead, Brian.
And looking at the groups of people who have backed each person, it seems like there are four candidates here, and it looks like they're all backed by four different, for lack of a better term, political cliques, as it were. You got the U-lines with, down with Dan Kelly, and Doro has some other different people, and, Protasiewicz has, a lot of folks like, another U-line, California Dr. Dem Megadona. I'm reading off the thing here. Carly Yurvetson, former Supreme Court candidate, Tim Burns, philanthropists David Lubar, Marianne Lubar, and Madeline Lubar. You got Operating Engineers 139 PAC and the American Federation of Teachers as well. That's a really interesting grouping of folks, because even though there's, again, they're PACs, they're super PACs, but this is, you know, Operating Engineers and Teachers. It's not like it's Johnny Conglomerate Super PAC for Freedom, you know.
And you're reading from the
whisper. What I'm saying is the groupings of people tell a lot about who these people, who the candidates are as well.
Yeah.
I really like Johnny Conglomerate Super PAC for Freedom. I think we should really focus on what's going on there. Yeah.
We could make one of those with how easy it is to make a super PAC. We could just create one if we really wanted to have it. I think
you already found the name for it, if nothing else.
And we should have, if we're going to make one, we should actually have a competing one. That way we can fundraise off each other. And it can be like Billy overarching evil guy conglomerate pack.
You know, one thing that I've always wanted to do at the recombobulation area is create like an equivalent of the MacIver Institute, where it's like the Institute for Greater Recombobulatory Studies.
Efforts, yeah.
Things like that. So maybe this could be,
the
super PAC arm of the Institute.
There you go.
For recombobulation or whatever I want to call it.
I was going to say, maybe a little bit more workshopping on the naming, but I think the general idea is a terrific one. And Brian's reading these numbers from wispolitics.com. The overarching reporting is where we found that piece written up. But it is also pretty interesting because, yeah, we're 5 weeks away from less than 5 weeks away now from the spring primary on February 21st. And I have a feeling this is kind of just the beginning of fundraising and spending that we're going to see in this race. Do you think a lot of that's going to happen before the spring primary, Dan? Or do you think there's going to be a lot of these millionaire, billionaire individuals waiting to see who the two final candidates are before they really start ramping up the spending in this race?
Yeah, I think there was an article, a really good article on this race in Politico yesterday that kind of talked about some of the national fundraising groups that are eyeing this race. And I think many of the national groups are waiting for the primary. So they're waiting to see, you know, who will emerge from the primary. I know Planned Parenthood is planning to back the liberal candidate. You have a number of conservative organizations, pro-life organizations, ready to back the conservative candidate there. But I think the thing to watch really, now that we have these fundraising numbers, we have a look at who's behind this. I think the thing to watch is the Uline money, like, and whether they are going to jump in and really spend on Daniel Kelly's behalf against Doro, because I do think these fundraising numbers indicate that on the left, Protasiewicz has a pretty significant lead. And on the right, there are, you know, some notable factions that are, you know, making this perhaps a more competitive race. And so I think, you know, when Doro initially jumped into the race, there were a lot of people saying, well, she has this high profile coming off the Waukesha Parade case. Maybe Kelly should drop out of the race and get behind the one candidate. That obviously hasn't happened. There seems to be, you know, a number of loud voices kind of going at each other between the two in that race. It's, you know, obviously Doro announced late in this, so like the money that she's raised was on a very tight time frame. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, if she's going to be able to, you know, spend the money that she raised to get over the finish, you know, not the finish line, but get over that first test on February 21st in the spring primary. So I think that's going to be kind of the story to watch over the next month here, whether the U-lines are going to jump into this, how things are going to play on the right, and on the left, I think, you know, it's remains to be seen if Everett Mitchell is really going to make all that much noise in the race. I know he's got a lot of, prominent support on the left, but with the fundraising dollars, you have to wonder if this is really built to compete in such a important race.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting and telling, I think, over the next 5 weeks, just over a month, really, of where the spending is going to shake down between now and then. Because this gives us a good snapshot of where the candidates have been for the last couple months with the calendar year 2022 fundraising. But I have a feeling this one's going to ramp up, and it's going to ramp up fast. There's going to be a lot coming at all Wisconsinites over the next five weeks between now and February 21st. I do find it interesting. Dick Uihlein had said that he was ready to spend millions to get Dan Kelly back onto the Supreme Court after he lost handedly. Like, if we want to call what Evers did last November against Republican challenger Tim Michaels a Wisconsin landslide, Dan Kelly was blown out by like a tsunami then in 2020 with the margin that he lost by, because
no cape could have helped him there.
No cape at all. But it's going to be very interesting to see, like you pointed out, if the Uihlein's are going to ramp up that money between now and February, or if they're going to hold off and wait to see who's the two candidates standing after the spring primary. Go ahead.
Just off of that, I wonder if, like, within the latest ballot referendums that are they're trying to put on the spring ballot here, I wonder if that's signaling a preference for Doro, because basically if you put on the ballot cash bail, essentially.
Bail reform.
Giving
judges the stronger ability to reform the bail process.
Isn't that a beautiful wine pairing for Judge Doro? Is it a nice, would you like a nice, delicious ballot referendum for bail and Doro together? I mean, it seems like it's just hand in hand, peanut butter and jelly.
It does make sense. I also think, you know, the Uihlein, if they are, you know, ready to spend here, you know, you have to think about what just happened with the Senate race, with how much they spent against Mandela Barr. And so I think, you know, perhaps too, that cash bail question would play into a Uihlein campaign strategy. You know, I'm sure given the amount of cases that Protasiewicz or Mitchell have ruled on over the years, I'm sure there's one cash bail thing that ended up going wrong that they will pick at and use, you know, as a place to, you know, campaign around that particular, you know, that particular issue, I imagine, is going to come up in this race as well. So, you know, and I know there was a story about Doro that she had, you know, had a lower cash bail on one particular defendant. You know, that story came out over the last couple months as well. So, you know, we're just going to be talking about cash bail in Wisconsin for the better part of a calender year. You know, and once we get into this race, terrific.
I just like to call it what it is. Let's bludgeon each other with fear of black people. That's pretty much what that is. That's all it is. So basically the answer is either way, you're going to get bludgeoned with fear of black people. Congratulations, go GOP. All right, cool. All right,
It's a problematic party.
It's a winning strategy, apparently. So,
right.
Yeah, I mean, they wouldn't continue to do it if it wasn't working for them. So the fact that they've been able to get away with that strategy in the past just signals to them that they can keep doing it. They can keep throwing money behind it. Dick Uihlein's got money to spend. I mean, his favorite was Kevin Nicholson in the race for governor. That was his preferred candidate. He was propping up the No Better Friend pack or whatever. If you want to discuss super PACs with weird names, like Kevin Nicholson was receiving millions of dollars from the Uihlein family, because the way that campaign finance works now, you just bet on every single horse if you're a billionaire, and you donate to all the candidates, and you just back whoever's the last one standing when it gets to a two-person race. And so it's these numbers are pretty interesting, just like Brian pointed out, seeing who's supporting who. I think it's gonna get a lot worse in the coming weeks, folks. So just prepare for these ads, as Brian and Dan are pointing out. They're not gonna be pretty. There's not gonna be any positive campaigns about campaign ads. It's gonna be a lot of dark doom and gloom, and I find it just fascinating how this four-way race is going to shake down. But you're listening to the recombobulation area. No, that is the award-winning column that Dan puts together. But you're listening to Dueling Tangents. Our guest for the next segment, as well as this past segment, Dan Schaefer of the recombobulation area. Dan, we got a couple more questions for you, and I want to talk about those Milwaukee Bucks. They're in a little bit of a slump, but maybe getting out of it soon. So, folks, you're going to want to stay tuned to Dueling Tangents, Cross Civic Media. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke Mathers, he's Brian Kelly. The two of us are joined by Dan Schaefer, award-winning columnist at the Recombobulation area. And Dan, I would be remiss if we did not talk about the Milwaukee Bucks, because I'm a big fan, and I know you're a big fan, and they had one hell of a game last night, and you were there at the Forum for the game. How was it?
Yeah, I finally made it out to a game this year. I was a little busy with all the election coverage early in the season, and then they went on a long road trip, so I wasn't able to see many games in town. But I made it out for last night. Took my daughter, and we had a great time. And it turned out to be a really fun game to see in person. Jrue Holiday, who, as anyone who follows me on Twitter will know, is one of my favorite players. I was campaigning for the Bucks to trade for Jrue Holiday back before they traded for Jrue Holiday. And he had his Bucks, his high scoring game as a Milwaukee Buck with 37 points last night, including another amazing step back 3-pointer to ice it for the team. It was a fun one.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun to watch. And I'm going to put it out there that maybe your tweets encouraging the Bucks to bring Jrue to Milwaukee effectively is what led to us winning a championship. So I'm just going to throw it out there. Nobody can necessarily prove that it didn't happen that way. So
that's right.
That's my theory.
You're going to argue that I am the reason the Milwaukee Bucks won their first championship in 50 years, I'm not going to disagree with you.
No, I think you just pushed the first domino, and obviously a lot of those dominoes had to fall with Giannis and Jrue and Chris performing the way they did, but you really nudged it in the right direction.
So like that meme of somebody putting the small domino, Dan Schaefer tweets a bunch about Jrue Holiday, big domino, the Bucks win the 2021
yep.
NBA championship. There we go.
That's the only way that I saw it happen.
That's right.
But you heard it here first, folks. This is breaking news. I love this.
It is. It's fantastic. And do you think Chris is going to get back on the floor come Saturday, or do you think we're going to have a little bit more time without Middleton suiting up for the Bucks?
It seems sooner than later. There was a good story from my friend Eric Name over the Athletic. He sat down with Middleton, and it seemed like from that interview he was getting close. So hopefully we'll be able to watch Giannis, Jrue, and Chris together on the court for the first time in a while.
Yeah, it's been a very limited minutes that the three of them played at all together this season. So I think Shaq, after the game last night on TNT, was saying, if the Bucks get healthy, they're going to be throwing another parade. And I would love to have another parade for the Milwaukee Bucks in Milwaukee. That would be a lot of fun. So if you want to stay up to date with Dan's take on the Bucks, Dan, share the Twitter handle with the people out there so they can follow up for some political stories with the recombobulation area, but also your takes on the fearing the deer.
Yeah, I'm at Dan R. Schaefer. I'm probably one of the only people on Twitter who ever gets a stick to politics reply because I, you know, some people will follow me for my work at the recombobulation area covering news and politics in Wisconsin. But every once in a while, because my Twitter feed will turn into a live live tweet of a Bucks game, and people will be like, what is this? I don't care about the Bucks. Stick to politics. I don't imagine that's a common response that a whole lot of people get. I feel like I'm a pretty unique and a pretty unique boat there on that one.
Yeah, that one's pretty inverse there, Bri. You're a little bit muted, buddy, but
how dare you know things or like things outside of the small, tiny thing I know you for? You can't be different.
Daisy, is that the voice of the internet commenter? Is that the voice of the reply guy?
Yeah, and then it just devolves into Strong Bad anyway. It all becomes Strong Bad, and then it's like, oh man.
That's just what it is. Yeah, it eventually
we started the show there.
I was gonna say eventually we always get there. Some days we start there, like today. And Dan, if people do want to follow the politics that you put out there, how can they learn more about the Recombobulation Area and the columns that you put out?
Yeah, so you can find me. I publish on Substack. And most of the content that I have on the Recombobulation Area is available for free. But if you do want to become a paying subscriber, that usually means you'll get some extra content. It also means you help support the work that I do covering news and politics in Milwaukee and Wisconsin. You know, we need to support local journalism, especially at a time when, you know, so many of the papers across the state are shrinking. So many of the local news, you know, landscape is not, you know, it's not the healthiest place right now. So you gotta support your local journalists where you can.
Yeah.
Now, folks, if you think that the George Santos thing is really stupid and dumb, and how did nobody figure that all out? I don't know. Maybe support someone like Dan, and then maybe we all know a little bit more in the long run, because that's what we need.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah.
Just saying. One of about 1,000 different reasons why you should be doing that. But that's the most obvious one I can come up with right now. So damn it, do it and give the man money.
Prevent the next money George Santos and subscribe to the Recombobulation Area.
Yes.
We're just generating memes all show long today. We're just going to generate these memes. Bam. We'll just get those. That's what it is.
We got a couple dominoes. Super packs. We got memes. We got the voice of the internet. I mean, this is a content generation machine.
There it is. And one of the latest pieces over at the Recombobulation Area is a guest column by Angela Lang of Block in Milwaukee.
I love her.
And yes, she is terrific. And she touches on really a different aspect of what I believe we've called for in this show, what we're seeing growing calls. We talked about it. State Senator Kel DeRoy's calling on it earlier today at the Wisconsin State Capitol. But for Robert Spindell to step down from the Wisconsin Elections Commission after the comments that he made about suppressing minority votes, specifically Hispanic and Black vote in Milwaukee, to really stop blaming those communities for the lack of turnout is what Angela's piece at the Recombobulation was effectively sharing. And Dan, I really just want to thank you for the guest columns. Every single time there's a guest columnist at the Recombobulation Area, it's must read, in my opinion. And that is just a whole nother dynamic of the Spindell revelations over the last week or so that just needs to be talked about more.
Yeah, we're always honored to be able to run Angela Lang's words at the Recombobulation Area. She wrote a really terrific piece about what Bob Spindell had to say and about the work that she does as the executive director of a group that works on Black voter turnout in the city of Milwaukee. And she, you know, talked about in the piece how, you know, people will ask her about what's happening with voter turnout in Milwaukee. And she said, you know, I'm going to quote from the piece, time and time again, I've said voter suppression is the issue. Now we have concrete evidence that this is the strategy of the Republican Party of Wisconsin to suppress votes in Milwaukee. So we had all these conversations in the immediate aftermath of the election. Why was turnout down in the city of Milwaukee? What, you know, where are these, 37,000 votes down from 2018? Well, it's a strategy. It is the clear strategy of the Republican Party of Wisconsin to try to make it more difficult for people to vote.
It was a coordinated effort. Well, this is the end of Dueling Tangents for today. Thank you so much, Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area. If you missed any portion of the show, go check out the podcast. We'll be back tomorrow at 2. Talk to y'all then.
Bucks and Six.